The word today is Christian. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Satan and the world around us are constantly trying to tempt us into forsaking God and His ways, so we need to continuously review the basics of our Christian faith. Here to review what it means to truly be a follower of Christ is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Christian.
When St. Paul wrote his epistles, he quite often structured them in a very simple little outline, and I think those occasions are just beautiful sections of Scripture where we can, as a witness, reminder to other people, where we can use them step one, step two, step three, and so on, almost like a basic little outline. Such a section of Scripture is found in the second chapter of Ephesians, when St. Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, in the second chapter, verses 1 to 10. As a matter of fact, I feel so wonderful about that section of the Scripture that I'd like to have you mark it somewhere in the front of your Bible, you know, right where you put your name in the Bible. There ought to be a little list of verses that you would be able to turn to on any subject, like heaven or sorrow or repentance or joy or whatever the topic would be. There ought to be a little reference guide that you can use for yourself. And if you want to talk about the way of salvation, one of the excellent little references here would be to turn to Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 to 10. And as you read through those 10 short verses, I'd make a little outline and use it. For instance, you could start your outline there at verse 1 by saying, the need for forgiveness. As a matter of fact, at the seminary, when we were being taught how to preach and communicate the gospel, our professors would often remind us, first of all, you have to tell people about the law of God, because if they don't know about the law of God, how will they know their need? If they think they're pretty good, you know, sometimes if people don't know about the commandments and they don't know about God's will, they can get the crazy idea that they're pretty good, that they're probably so good that God ought to be tickled pink with them and ought to be very pleased to have them as his people. You know, there is a conceit within us. There is a feeling of wanting to do things for ourselves, and we like to feel that we're pretty good, and often we feel that we're a lot better than other people, and we can even look at the Christian community and say, well, I know there are some Christians that are living a pretty godless life. They live almost like the world around them, and it's hard to tell the difference between them and the sinful world around them. And yet, if they don't know about the will of God and the law of God and the Ten Commandments and so on, the chances are they'd think that they're doing pretty well and that God is pretty pleased with them. So the first thing you have to start to communicate to people is that there is a basic need, that we have sin within us, and this basic need is to get rid of this blockade, this barrier between God and ourselves, this sin that builds a fence and a wall between us and God and makes us unrelatable to Him because we feel that we are so good. And whenever a person feels they're good, you know, that they're doing just wonderful, chances are their conceit is going to get so displeasing to God that He'll be very upset with them, because He wants salvation to be a gift, to be something that they will receive from Him as a gift. And He doesn't want us to think we deserve it or we earned it or we in some way are worthy of it. That would be such an incredible mistake. And so the very first thing when you start communicating with someone about God is to let them know the problem, the sin that exists in our lives. It's present in everyone's life. There's no question about it. And if you take a good close look at introspection in looking in your own heart, you can see that even though you might have been a Christian for maybe decades, Maybe you're in your 30s or 40s already, and you've been following Christ, and you've been worshiping him and serving him, and yet you know that your heart is evil. Your heart has all kinds of problems. We have lust, we have coveting, we have all kinds of sinful natures, jealousies, and we are told in these opening few verses of the second chapter of Ephesians, we are told that we have a tendency to follow our own ungodly nature, our nature of wanting to do things that are wicked and things that are bad. There's a craving for desires that are not pleasing to God. Now, that's what we're talking about here in these first few verses of the second chapter of Ephesians. The ruler of the world is referred to here, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and the one who is trying to drag us away from Christ and cause us to lose our salvation, the one that gets us into all this trouble is Satan. And of course, he uses our own gratifying cravings and desires that we have in our wicked heart and wants to cause us to greatly sin against God and turn away from God. And so the problem that exists is that we are up against an enemy. This enemy is able to defeat us if we don't have Christ on our side. If we try to handle Satan on our own, with our own strength and with our own feelings of confidence and so on, we're going to fail, because Satan was originally, before he fell away from God, was originally a very fine angel, one of the leaders of the angels. In fact, we are aware that when God created the angels, they were all created well and good and able to follow God. And then, because of their free choice, Satan rebelled, and he wasn't satisfied to be a partner with God, so to speak. He wanted to be just like God. He wanted to be God. And so he went against the will of God and disobeyed, and as a result led a rebellion. And that rebellion in heaven were the evil angels as they were trying to overthrow the kingdom of God. And God kicked them out of heaven. We don't know how many there were, but there must have been a huge number. Some people like to think of it in terms of approximately one-third of the angels. Now, frankly, I don't think you can estimate things like that, but they were innumerable. They were just many, many, many angels that fell away and followed Satan. And on Judgment Day, they are going to be confined to hell. They will not be able to escape any longer. Now they're free to roam around here on earth yet, where we have been given a freedom of will. We can choose to follow Satan or we can choose to follow God. One or the other, those are the only two choices. And so some people choose to follow Satan and the will of the world and the evil. And some people, thank God, because of their conversion, have been brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ, known as Christians. They have become the followers of Jesus Christ, and as such, they follow and serve him. So those are the two battle lines. And you're heading one way or the other. You're either heading toward God and heaven for eternity, or you're heading toward hell and eternal damnation for eternity. So that's the way you would begin to explain the situation, and then I would lead into the second step, where here in Ephesians 2, it tells you that you have been saved from this, those who are Christians, those who believe in Jesus Christ. Because God, in his grace, that means his goodness, it was undeserved, it was unearned, and there's nothing we could do about it, but he gave us faith. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God not only gave us a Savior, but he gave us the faith to believe it. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we've been converted, and we now are the followers of Jesus Christ. So God has done everything. God the Father loved us. He didn't want us to be damned. He didn't want us to be judged. And so as a result, he gave us a Savior. And then he said, if you believe in this Savior and trust in him, he's my son, I will then give you salvation and you will have life eternal. And so he sent his Holy Spirit into our heart to convert us. And in that conversion, we have now miraculously become the followers of Jesus Christ. We have been raised up, it says here in Ephesians, as if we are seated with Christ, so to speak, in high places. And that's been done by faith, by the Holy Spirit converting us and saying, I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I believe that through his suffering and death, he has taken my sins away and has earned for me the gift of salvation, which I could not earn for myself. We couldn't take a single sin away. And yet Christ, through his suffering and death and his resurrection from the dead, proved he has the power not only over devil and the sin, but the power over death. And so even our great enemy, death, which the devil tries to bother us with, you know, quite frequently. He tries to get us overwhelmed with life and disturbed and all upset over any kind of problem he tries to introduce into our lives. And yet we have the power even over death because Christ rose from the dead and conquered death. And so we too will rise from the dead and have the gift of eternal life. So I would use Ephesians 2 here in these opening verses and all the way through down to verse 10 to talk about the wonderful gift of salvation. We have a need because of our sin. We have to get rid of sin and we can't do it ourselves. So Christ has given us the gift of faith to believe in him, that we have the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. What a beautiful little review of the gospel. Only two kinds of the people in the world, those that are unbelievers and are not saved, and those that are believers in Jesus Christ and have the gift of salvation and eternal life.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.